puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say good morning to Gordon Goldsboro with the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What are we discussing this week, my friend?
Well, we're going to visit a couple of abandoned buildings in rural Manitoba that made me feel quite uneasy when I went inside them. They pertain to a question I am frequently asked about my travels around the province. Aren't you trespassing?
Well, what kind of buildings are they?
Well, both of them are farmhouses, and I'm fascinated by them because I think they illustrate the transformation that has occurred in Manitoba's farming community over the past 50 or 60 years. At one time, there might be several families living on a single square mile of farmland. Today, one can drive for miles and miles, see no occupied farms, but numerous abandoned farmyards. I've seen so many former farmhouses that are strikingly beautiful, and frankly, if they were located closer to a city, would be in much demand. As it is, nobody wants to live where they're located, so the houses stand empty.
And you know, Gordon, your clue said a couple of abandoned farmhouses. Where are they?
I'm not going to say where either of the two farmhouses are situated, other than that they're in agricultural areas of Manitoba. I worry that if I reveal where they're located, it could give someone the incentive to go there and vandalize or steal materials from them. Now, of course, most of the places we discuss in this series are abandoned and therefore potentially subject to malicious actions. What I think is different about these places is that I don't think they've been abandoned very long, and in at least one case, they are still potentially habitable. You know, that's what made me uneasy before I went inside them. It felt like I was entering someone's home.
I can just picture you tiptoeing around these abandoned places, just wondering, am I trespassing? But how did you actually end up getting inside?
Well, it wasn't hard. Each of the farmhouses had doors that were half open. I just had to walk inside. Now, technically speaking, according to the Manitoba Petty Trespasses Act, I was trespassing. Now, I might rationalize that I meant no harm, that I took nothing but photographs. I served a higher purpose by documenting Manitoba's past for the benefit of all, but I was guilty.
Jury's still out on that one, buddy. Now, okay, tell us about the two farmhouses that you visited.
I visited each of them in May of 2019. The first was a two-story building constructed 100 years earlier, in 1919. I knew this because there was a stone date plaque embedded in its exterior of attractive red bricks. The interior featured beautiful wooden millwork cabinetry, doorways, hardwood floors, and fireplace. You know, although the glass in several windows was missing, the roof seemed intact, so it didn't look like much work would be needed to make it livable again.
And the other farmhouse?
It's probably also about 100 years old. I say this because the two-story farmhouse was made from locally cast concrete blocks. They're a building material popular from about 1905 to 1915. Being made of concrete, the walls of the house are very solid. The interior, well, it's been updated with modern kitchen cabinetry and wood paneling on the walls. It looks like it maybe is from the 1970s. The doors, the millwork on the second floor, though, were mostly original. Unfortunately, fallen ceiling tiles and extensive water damage on the second floor pointed to significant water infiltration. I had a look in its attic, and it had numerous holes in the roof.
Isn't it better to just ask for permission before visiting the place?
Well, this is something that I very often hear from people concerned about trespassing. My response to the question is, how do you advise me to find out who to contact? You know, almost never do owners put up a sign on their property inviting people to phone them if they want to visit.
Fair enough. Now, assuming someone wanted to visit a site on private property, how does a person contact a property owner to obtain that permission?
Well, if it's clear the owner lives nearby, the obvious thing to do would be to go to them and ask for permission directly. Frequently, however, especially in remote rural areas, the owner may not live nearby. Heck, I've encountered a lot of historic buildings where the owner doesn't even live in Canada. One recourse is to ask the neighbors. You know, even if they do not own the property, they might know who does. Failing that, a visit to the local municipal office might be fruitful, but not always.
Why is that?
Well, because municipal staff are so sensitized to personal privacy concerns these days that they claim to be legally bound not to share information. You know, I recall a visit a few years ago to a municipal office. I asked the staff if they would tell me who the owner of a particular land parcel was. They said no, without realizing that a large map mounted on the wall behind them, you know, a map that anyone can purchase legally, showed exactly the information I wanted. It was right there in plain sight.
Wow. You know, given the concerns about trespassing, have you ever had any run-ins with the police during any of these travels around Manitoba?
I can count the number of times I've had trouble with landowners on one hand, and I've talked with police and security guards just twice in over a dozen years. In both those cases, they had been called over suspicions that I was up to no good, that I was casing abandoned property for stuff to steal. When the police learned that I was with the Manitoba Historical Society, that I was doing research on places for their historical value, their concerns disappeared. You know, even angry landowners who have contacted me ended up inviting me back to visit after learning why I was interested in their property. Their concern for the safety of their property is understandable.
And what can people do who may want to keep out those trespassers?
A simple step they can take is to put up no trespassing signs. That's a conspicuous indication that the owner does not want visitors. And ethical historical explorers will honor the owner's wishes. Otherwise, I advise those explorers to study the site from afar, you know, such as from a nearby public road. Taking photos of buildings from public roads is not illegal. If it was, there would be no Google Street View. But if someone objects to having their property photographed, I think you should probably comply. And in fact, there are other ways to get close-ups of a building.
How does one go about that?
Well, as far as I can tell, the present Trespass Act that replaced the Petty Trespasses Act in the fall of 2021 does not prevent someone from observing a site from the air using a drone, so long as one doesn't make a nuisance of themselves or jeopardize anyone's safety.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, before we finish, I have to ask, why did you trespass in those two farmhouses?
It always makes me sad to see an abandoned house, especially when the house is attractive and apparently in good structural order, as these two were. I wanted to know if there were some structural reason for them being abandoned. Unfortunately, I think in these cases, they were simply victims of rural depopulation in Manitoba that's leaving many such beautiful buildings empty.
Definitely a lot to digest and to think about in today's episode. Meanwhile, why don't you give us a hint about next week's episode?
Well, every so often in this Abandoned Manitoba series, we visit a ghost town somewhere around the province. Next week, a town that had all the trappings of permanence. You know, it had been incorporated by the provincial government. It had over 1,000 residents. It hosted the courts and land titles office for the region. Heck, it even had a weekly newspaper. All that is left today is a large stone monument.
Can't wait to hear about it. Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.